roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz reporting for duty on a Thursday. It's going to be a fun show today. I don't know if we'll get to any news, honestly, because we got a stacked show when it comes to guests. We haven't done this since our Junkie Radio days on Sirius XM. We went to podcast form where it was basically Goz and I, we had to argue with the bosses because we were limiting ourselves to 25 minutes an episode, just covering the news. And now moving over to Sportscast, we've been able to stretch out a little bit. Got an hour to spend with you guys twice a week. However, if something sits with me on our promise to always have a guest, at least to average a guest, this is a better way of saying it, one per week. So when we strike out, and sometimes it's not our fault. In fact, most of the times it's not our fault. I just feel like, we got to get them two on the next one. Well, now we have to get you three. So let's hope all three come in. I think we're all caught up. We're going to talk to Ilia Topuria. First of all, he's a UFC featherweight fighting out of Spain. We'll catch up with him in a few minutes. He'll be our first guest. Then we'll be joined by Karen Bryant, longtime host for the UFC with Fox when they were with Fox, and now with ESPN, also the host of MMA Heat, and some other stuff too that we'll talk about. And then we'll close out with Jim Miller. He is, of course, no introduction needed there. A long time UFC lightweight fighting Bobby Green at UFC 258 on February 13th. By the way, good news, we're going to be hosting a watch along for UFC 258 on February 13th. We just found out earlier this morning, so we're excited about it. You all can watch the fights along with us. It's going to be a good time. Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns in the main event. But more on that one later. Just book the 13th, will you? 10 Eastern, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. But you know we'll dip in early. So that's the pay-per-view, the official pay-per-view start time for UFC 258. Again, Goz and I will be hosting a UFC 258 watch-along. We'll be back to start the show.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura dropping in. Just wanted to let you know about MMA Junkie's latest podcast. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language show dedicated to all things professional fighting. Each Monday, we recap the major events from the weekend, plus we analyze the week's biggest news. We also bring you exclusive interviews with the best fighters, coaches, and experts in the Hispanic and Latin American scene. You can find Hablemos MMA every Monday morning on your favorite podcasting platform. Suscríbete y nos hablamos pronto. Chao.
All right, Gozy Gator, Alistair Overeem and Alexander Volkov. It's about to happen, man. It's about to go down. We can sneak in a word or two here before our guests start pouring in.
I think that fight will not last more than 4 minutes tops. I would be shocked if they got out of the first round. It's going to be guns a-blazing. The whole card really has, like, just overall, whatever you are as a fight fan, they're going to have it. You know, you have your veterans that are showcased on this card in Frankie Edgar, Alistair Overeem. Then you even kind of have like a veterans matchup in Clay Guida and Michael Johnson. There's up and comers. There's guys that took fights on short notice. So there is a lot to kind of unpack with this card. You're going to love it top to bottom. But that main event, fireworks. It ain't lasting that long.
Yeah. Pantoja is one of my favorite fighters. He's facing Manel Cape. These guys are working, all of them, man, to reestablish that UFC flyweight division. So look out for that one as well. This weekend is going to be a ton of fun. All right, our first guest is ready to go, Ilia Topuria. We're going to sort him out, get him in here, and then you will listen to one of the exciting up-and-coming UFC featherweights. 10-0, 9 finishes. This guy's a stud. Hello, Ilia Topuria. How are you?
Hello, guys. Thank you. I'm fine. How are you?
We're great. I want to get this straight. So you're Spanish and Georgian. Yeah. You live in Spain, but you were born in Germany. Did I cover all that correct?
Yeah, well, everything is correct.
Nice. Man, and that's great that you are multilingual. You speak Spanish. You speak English, obviously, because I had to look to make sure that you did speak English. Yeah, you speak it fine. And what other languages do you speak?
I speak in 4 languages in Germany, but I forget a lot because I don't live there a long mm-hmm. time. I speak in Georgian, in Russian, and a little bit in English too. But I'm feeling okay. If you give me to permit, guy, I will talk in Spanish. He will make the translate, so all my followers can hear what I say.
Oh, you got a translator.
Yeah, I'm here with my friend.
Okay, but only if we get in trouble, because you're doing really good right now. So if we get in trouble, we'll bring in the translator.
Yeah, but I can express with myself much better if I talk in Spanish.
Ilia, estás hablando muy bien. Te vamos a entender.
No, seguro que sí, pero es que prefiero hablar en español.
Entiendo.
Porque así puedo expresarme mucho mejor, porque en inglés me trabo
y no voy a poder... He can speak English, but he can express himself better in Spanish, so he does have a translator with him. First of all, how many cars do you have? I love your car collection that I see on Instagram. Yeah, those are really, really slick cars.
Yeah, I have like 3 cars. 3 cars I have right now. I'm going to have 4 in 1 month.
Okay. And hey, man, if I may ask, like, does the family a wealthy family, or are you just good at saving your money, or all of the money from fighting goes to pay for the cars?
Bueno, voy a empezar a hablar en español. Tradúcelo ya. Todo lo que intenta traducirlo. Bueno, la cosa es que soy un gran fanático de los coches y tengo a mi mujer con mi hijo y me gustan los coches. Es una afición que tengo.
Well, the thing is that I really like cars, and it's one of my hobbies. And well, my wife has one, and I really like to drive my car, my own car, but it's one of my passions.
Very well. All right, folks, you got to check him out on Instagram at Ilia Topuria. He leads an exciting life. He's got nice watch, nice clothes, nice cars. I think we all wish we were him. But Ilia, I want to ask you. It's been 2 months. But your last win was awesome. You're now 10-0 overall, 2-0 in the UFC. In the 10 wins that you've had, 9 have been finishes. What a great start to the career. Are you as pleased as you wanted to be when you started as a professional fighter?
Yeah, of course. Siempre supe, ¿no?, sobre mi carrera, porque sabía de mis cualidades. Por eso fue que empecé con esto. Sabía que iba a llegar lejos, ¿no? Me gusta cada vez que toco algo ser el número uno, y en esto es lo que voy a conseguir.
Yeah, I was so sure about myself, because I always think that I'm one of the greatest. I will become one of the greatest fighters in UFC, and that's my dream, and that's one of my goals.
Now, how soon would you like to reach the ultimate goal, which is the ultimate goal of every fighter, to become a world champion? Do you believe in taking it slow and just getting better and better? That way, when you do get the belt, you have a lot of title defenses and, you know, all that. Or do you believe in getting there as fast as possible and just learning on the job, as they say?
Yo, el día que he firmado con la UFC, no he pensado en ir a escalar poco a poco. Siempre quiero llegar a la élite y hacer el número uno lo antes posible, y después hacer peleas que te exciten, ¿no?, que te den motivación. No quiero estar al top lo antes posible. No quiero ir poco a poco. Quiero ya.
I want to become into a great UFC fighter, I mean, as soon as possible. It's one of my dreams since the day I signed with UFC, and I want to go fast and bright like a star.
Y creo que okay. Con mis situaciones he demostrado que no hace falta. Yo creo que no hace falta que yo diga que vengo a por el cinturón. Yo creo que mis hechos hablan por sí solo.
I mean, I my fights and my acts talks about me. and who I am and how I do things and how I perform my, my fights.
Definitely, man. You're getting the job done. I agree there. So I want to ask you, when you look at the top, it's Alexander Volkanovski, Max Holloway, Brian Ortega. When you look at those three, for example, do you say to yourself, oh, yeah, I got them. You got them. Do you have that confidence to take them now? Is that what you're saying?
Plena confianza. Tengo la plena confianza de que puedo enfrentarme a ellos cuando sea. En mi próxima pelea puedo pelear por el cinturón. Esa es mi confianza. Así soy. No quiero ni sonar arrogante, pero es mi pensamiento. Yo por ello no digo soy el mejor del mundo. Siempre digo pienso que soy el mejor del mundo. Y poco a poco lo estoy demostrando y lo voy a ir demostrando cada vez más.
I don't want to sound arrogant, but it's something that I really think. I trust myself and I'm very confident and I'm sure that I'm very good. And step by step, I will prove what I'm saying.
How popular are you in Spain and in Georgia? Are those countries warming up to MMA?
Yes, he said that in Spain, he's becoming popular, but there's not many people who follows the mixed martial arts, but... the one who follows the UFC knows him very well and always, I mean, wants to know about him. But in Georgia, he becomes very popular in a few years ago. And right now, people follow a lot the UFC. And well, he becomes popular. And right now, he's signed a contract with a... ¿Con qué has dicho? Con
Casa de Apuestas más grande.
With a... ¿Cómo se
llama? Betincon.
Betincon and one of the biggest in Georgia, right?
Yeah.
You know, George named out a lot of big names, right, at the top of your division. When you get to that title shot, is there one that you prefer to be on top when you fight for the belt?
That's my vision. I won't really want to become a champion, and that's my goal since the day I started learning mixed martial arts, and it's something that I want to prove to myself. I want to prove that I am who I want to be in the future.
Being an undefeated fighter, there's a lot of fame that comes as your career starts to progress. Do you like that kind of stuff? Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor both have spoken about that side of the business, you know, all the things that come with that. And is that something that interests you? Do you have fun with that side of the business as well?
Yes, sure. My interest is to grow as a UFC fighter, but also as a popular and very wealthy man.
As a younger fighter, was there ever a fighter that you kind of looked up to and said, when my career progresses, I would like to have a career similar to this guy?
I admire a lot of sport guys, but if I have to compare, you know, being like any of them, I would like to be like Cristiano Ronaldo or even like Conor McGregor or Canelo Alvarez, one of the greatest, and I really want to become or be similar, like even better. If I could.
Somos fanáticos de Ronaldo, mira.
Qué grande, qué grande. ¿Ese es el de Manchester?
El de Manchester. Jugó con nosotros por muchos años antes de que vaya a Real Madrid. I'm telling them we're massive fans of Cristiano Ronaldo. But you know what I was thinking, Ilya, was you remind me of David De Gea, except you have dark hair and he has lighter hair. You know who he is, right? The goalkeeper?
Soy más guapo.
One day De Gea is going to ask for a selfie.
¿Cómo? No te he entendido.
Un día De Gea te va a preguntar a ti por un selfie en vez de tú a él. Él a ti te va a preguntar.
Yo soy humilde, se lo pido yo, no pasa nada. Él es un gran deportista antes que yo, así que humildad ante todo, ¿no?
Está bien. I was telling him that one day David De Gea, Spanish goalkeeper, very popular, very famous, looks like him, except he has light hair and Ilya's got darker hair. I said, one day he's going to ask you for a selfie. He says, I'm humble. I have no problem asking him. Ilya, hey, you've had a great start to a career. I can't wait for the next 10 fights. 10-0 overall, 2-0 in the UFC, 9 finishes. Great stuff. Your last win over Damon Jackson was incredible. It was great to meet you here today. Thank you. Y muchas gracias al traductor. Es igual. Y ojalá que podamos hablar en otra ocasión, especialmente una vez que tengas una pelea lista. Once you have your next fight ready, hopefully we can have a chat and preview the fight.
Thank you so much, guys, for your time. Appreciate it.
Okay. Take care. We'll see you.
Gracias.
Gracias a usted. All right. There you have it, folks. Ilya Topuria. Cool guy, huggers.
George, if they told me in Spain there was a real Batman, he might be the first door I knock on and try and figure it out. If you look at his Instagram and stuff, doesn't he look like he's Bruce Wayne on the side?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
He becomes Batman and fights, and that he's like exactly like that.
If he took off that watch, I could probably put a down payment on a house. I mean, he really has slick cars. He's got nice clothes, nice watches. He lives the lifestyle, man. I guess I'm green in envy. I don't know. But he's a real, real cool guy. And how about that last thing he said? He goes, look, man, I'm humble. I have no problem asking him for the selfie. So, yeah, I'm glad I got a chance to meet him. I had heard him on Danny Segura's Hablemos MMA podcast before. But I had seen him talk in English, so I knew we could hold it down one way or another. So thank you again to his translator as well. I think we can get our next guest on a couple minutes early, Karen Bryant. So hang on, folks. Hang on, Junkie Nation. Let us sort all this out.
The Counter, an NFL podcast from USA Today Sports. Featuring For the Win's Stephen Ruiz and Chris Corman.
I know people are like just assuming that this is an upgrade at the quarterback position, but I don't think we could say that for a fact. I'd say it's a downgrade.
He never really had game-to-game impact, just coming off the edge and destroying people that we thought when we saw his athleticism in college and at the combine.
The Counter, diving deeper into the NFL with advanced stats, film study, and expert guests. This is The Counter.
Listen and subscribe to The Counter on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
There she is, Karen Bryant.
Hey.
How you doing? UFC host, also, I mean, I remember you from MTV and, of course, Fox Sports, now rocking it with the UFC and ESPN. Great to have you here on the show.
Thank you. I'm glad I could do this. Like I said, I have to get to the airport in a little bit. But the one thing I didn't know, I was like, oh, wait. Oh, they have their cameras on. Oh, crap.
Don't worry. So, you look great as always.
I woke up like this.
Yeah, she's hopping on a plane to come to Vegas because you're doing the hosting duties this week, right?
Yeah, I am. And big exciting news. I hope I'm allowed to say it, that our studio is ready now. So we will actually be in our studio space, which will be fantastic. And I'll be breaking it in with my boy, Michael Bisping and Alan Joban. So yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting. I'm mildly excited to get back to work.
Well, we toured the Apex, which I imagine is where the studio is located. We toured it, but back then it was just a bunch of walls and stairs and a lot of space. So we knew that they had a vision to do a lot of these things, but can you tell us what will it look like? What kind of a set will it look like? I guess,
you know, I don't know. I just know that they, like you said, for a lot of time, it's just been really an industrial kind of space in there and a lot of unfinished rooms still. And there's a lot of that's going to be this and this is going to be that. But so I'm not really sure what it's going to look like. I don't know if it's, you know, it's not going to be like tricked out like we had at Fox. We had the suite studio with the wall, you know, the touchscreen wall and all that stuff. I don't think it's going to be that intense. I don't know. But I do know that we're getting our desk back and, you know, we'll be, I guess, sitting there. It's crazy because it's just been really difficult without a desk. It's like a yard, you know, usually I have kind of a yard sale going on with my papers and my script and stuff like that. And my, you know, and so it's really hard to sit all that on your lap in a director's chair in heels with your legs crossed on that little chair. Like, you know, dudes don't have to sit the same way as we do. So it's been a challenge without a desk, if I can tell you that.
Sounds like a 6-hour long yoga pose on Saturdays.
It is. Dude, it is a total core workout while you're sitting there. Like, cause you do, you kind of flex. And then I'm always trying to have good posture too. It is a full on core workout. Yeah.
Well, you do an amazing job. And I wanted to ask you, was Joban kind of like your boy? He co-hosts MMA Heat. Were you able to throw him a bone, a fist bump and say, hey, you got to get this cat on here. He's a good looking dude. He does well on MMA Heat. Let's give him a shot. Cause he has thrown the baton and ran with it.
Obviously Alan is his own man and he has done some great things. I just think that definitely the work that we did together on MMA Heat definitely helped get him ready for this. And so it's been nice because he's been talking to them. And, you know, he was on with us, actually, me and Mike in DC at Fox a couple of years back, and he did great. And so he's been trying to get more opportunities. And it's just, you know, it's packed. It's the job that everybody wants. And so, yeah, I think maybe working with me sometimes on the side. And then also I do bring his name up, you know, a lot in terms of who they could call if somebody fell out. So, yeah, I'm there to help.
Don't sweat it, man. We, you know, John Stauffer, a mutual friend of ours, yes. you probably remember him from Fox. He used to listen to our show a lot. And so he would catch a lot of the guys when they came into the Mandalay Bay to do the show in studio. And we would chat, you know, and I told him, like, for example, Michael Chiesa is one guy that came in and just blew it out, you know, out of the park. And I was like, you should get him on the desk. You got to do something about the mullet maybe, but you got to get him on that desk, coot him up. But actually, he still rocks the mullet better than anybody. But that is amazing that a lot of these athletes are having this opportunity so that they can, you know, some of them can continue fighting, but then they also have something after fighting as well.
Exactly. It's been really great. And Chiesa is a perfect example of somebody who put it out there that they really wanted to do it and took the steps to learn how to do it. And, you know, there's always growing pains and stuff like that. At first he was joking because he's like, I talk with my hands. I'm Italian. What am I going to do? And so it's kind of funny to kind of watch him. I'm pretty sure it was Mike that we, right before we went on the air, because, you know, you got to haze people every now and then. So sometimes right before somebody goes on the air for the first time, we're like, oh my God, you're going on live TV. Oh my God, don't mess it up. And we just, you know,
nice.
That's funny. It's totally funny. So I believe we did that to Chiesa. But, you know, no, he's doing great. And so it's a perfect thing for people to do after they're fighting. It's a nice transition. As Alan mentioned, he might be done. He's not 100% sure yet. But if he is, he'd be great at doing this as we move on. I started a new podcast. I'm doing one with Angela Hill right now. Angela's a woman who is getting into doing some of the analyzing. And, you know, I know same thing that by doing this podcast together, I'm sure she'll get better at doing other stuff too. And she already is so great at putting her personality out there and stuff. So it's great.
Karen, I wanted to ask you about preparation for these shows. Now, because of the nature of our sport, there's a lot of times where just fights fall out. Right. But when you add in COVID-19 and all that, at this point, is there a certain text that you get and you see and just go, oh, great. Yeah. I don't know what this is going to be about. How much does that set you back? Like, you have to go back to your room and do more research?
It's not as bad as how it would set John back or Brendan, you know, somebody who's calling the fights. They have a lot more prep that they have to do, but still in all, I have a lot that I'm doing. So I'm watching fights all week long. It's a lot of time, like you're doing other things, you're making dinner or you're folding laundry or whatever, and I'll have my iPad out and I'm watching the fight. So for example, yesterday, I'm already starting to go through and write my scripts. I get a rundown of all the things that we're going to be talking about. And so I'm writing and I'm talking about Renault and Chasson, and then you go, you know, and yeah, you're doing your research, and then you go over there. You're like, they're not fighting tomorrow, you know? And so then it does kind of change everything. So then now I'm in standby. I had to kind of wait, to get my updated formats. So those aren't in yet. So it's a lot of rewriting for me. So a lot of it is fluid though. I mean, that's the thing when you're on live TV, I write basically a script for UFC Live and for the pre-show. But a lot of time we just are calling audibles and it'll all change anyway. And the post-show is totally unscripted anyway. We just go. So afterwards, you know, is nothing. But yeah, the prep time, it does affect it, because you could write something amazing, a whole great lead in for this fight and get all majestic about something. And then the next thing you know, like, fight's off, or late change opponent and it's a newcomer that you don't know about. And then now you're doing a deep dive to find out who Askar is. I mean, no disrespect, but like you do sometimes get a little bit of a panic. Like I want to sound intelligent when I speak about this person, but sometimes the newcomers, there's not that much information about them, or you're in a kind of a last minute crunch to get up to speed on them, because you don't want to do them wrong either. When you're trying to sell the fight, you want to know about them to sell them, because it's their great big opportunity now, you know? So you don't want to not pay tribute to what a moment it is for them too. So yeah, it can be a little rough with those last minute opponents. COVID definitely did a lot.
Yeah, that's for sure. I wanted to get your opinion on something that's been going around in the news. We've all been doing this for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we've all experienced these type of comments, Stephen A. Smith's comments towards females in MMA, but just towards MMA in general.
Yeah.
I think we've all had that moment where you tell somebody what you do and they give you their opinion on mixed martial arts. And I guess my question to you is, do you feel like that's a generational thing? Is that going to go away eventually? Or is that something just that the stigma that the sport's always going to have?
I do think it is generational. I do think so. And I hope it goes away. He's totally entitled to his opinion about not liking to watch women get punched. That I I know a lot of men that I respect that probably feel the same way. They just find it more difficult to watch for one reason or another. So his opinion is his own, and that's totally fine. I think it's just that, yeah, we've proven that women belong here. We've put up, women have created fights of the year. There's no doubt that women belong here. And the thing that I guess that weirded me out about that whole thing was really more like, nobody's really talking about girls fighting dudes anyway, really, right? So that to me just seemed like kind of a strange tangent to take it in that direction. And then to kind of equate what we're doing with that kind of freak show sort of fight was disrespectful, I thought, to the athletes, because that's not what we're doing here and not what our athletes are doing. So that I don't like. I don't like that it brings down all of the forward progress that women have made. And I don't like that it belittles their achievements, what they do. I mean, yes, again, you can't always just say, well, then don't watch. But he is a very, very popular man with a huge platform. And it is disappointing to hear him say that Lee doesn't, you know, want to see the women, because it's such a big part of the sport and they put on such great fights. And then I do understand, you know, like how some fighters feel kind of like, well, wait a minute, you work for ESPN and that's where we all live, and yet you're not supporting it. So I understand why people, a lot of the fighters, women, were really mad. Like, I totally get it.
Yeah, a lot of female fighters have put out their stance. A few of the male fighters, former and current, I think Tim Kennedy put one up. This morning I saw Joanna.
Yeah.
You know, I this is a subject that I just hate being a hypocrite to. It is generational, because little gray hair here. I mean, I'm past 50. You know, it's the third quarter for me.
Yeah. So
it is some of the stuff he was saying. I was like, I understand it, but his tangent, he took it in a direction where it's like it didn't apply. You know,
right?
But I really love women's MMA. I was slow to it. I think the only thing that I've gotten criticized for is my criticism saying that there's just not enough great ones yet, or whatever. But we're slowly stuck on the shelves. I mean, when UFC 1 started, some of the guys were awful at UFC 1, you know, but slowly UFC 2 got more stacked until we got to the ultimate in Dothan, Alabama or whatever. And then all of a sudden we had a lot of talent coming in, and now there's thousands of great fighters. We just talked to a 10-0 guy that a lot of people haven't heard of from Spain named Ilia Topuria, who's awesome. Ilia's
great. I was there for his debut on Fight Island. Like, we knew when he came into our fighter meeting, we were all like, this dude's good. And he was great. Like, yeah, I'm down with Ilia. And that was the same night there were two Georgians on the card for the very first time, because he and my boy Giga Chikadze was also on the card, and Giga won as well. And that was a big night for Georgia over on Fight Island. But I digress. Sorry.
Yeah. To Stephen A. Smith, he was just a little, I think he was out of line a little bit, because he took the subject into a direction which I don't even think the original question was headed that way. But all right. So the next thing I wanted to ask you was what had happened was, that's originally what, you know, why I wanted to book you, because you dropped another podcast. The first one said, hey, this is a trial run, but it seems like you're having a good time and this one's here to stay. So that one joins, that one's with Angie Overkill.
Yeah.
And that one is in addition to MMA Heat with Alan Joban. And I want to make sure everybody gets this straight. They have two podcasts, and then they also have the great MMA Heat YouTube channel that you should check out, where they have different segments there. But tell us about what happened was, who thought of that one?
Well, you know, it's funny, because when Angie and I get together at work anyway, it's just kind of a party. Like, we just kind of have that vibe. And when we were over on Fight Island, there was kind of this funny clip that a friend of mine, a journalist, took of us up on our little stage dancing. And we were joking that it was like we're at the cookout or whatever. And she's just got a great energy. And so we were like, you know, we want to try some new things, like mix it up, do some stuff. And we know that, you know, there is a lot of podcasts out here, but there are some that, you know, I think that sometimes some newcomers might feel a little bit like intimidated by some of these shows. And so Angela and I kind of wanted to have more of a vibe. Like, if you're a newcomer to this, cool, you're welcome here. Like, you don't have, there's not going to be any stupid questions for us. We're going to try to define some things on each show and kind of like answer emails and questions from people. But mostly it was like, we just kind of felt there was a little bit of a void in the space. I'm not sure. I know Laura and Megan used to do a thing together, and there are some girls that are doing stuff, Cage Free Chicks and stuff. And there are different podcasts with women on them, but we were like, you know, it's a different energy. why don't we just try to do this together? A lot of time it is going to be talking about pop culture too. So I'm sure, but it's just been a lot of fun. You know, I guess it's one of those things when you're on lockdown and you just start to get bored and try to get a little bit more creative, but I'm having a really good time with her. She's a lot of fun. So hopefully people will be able to tune into that.
Keep doing your thing. We'll keep tuning in. It seems like everything you set your mind to, you're very successful at. So congratulations. And we look forward to many episodes of What Happened Was. Folks, again, check that out. And you can go to the YouTube channel for MMA Heat. It's very popular and it's been around for a long time. Karen, I know you got to get going. Just wanted to say thanks for the time. Hopefully maybe we can do a part two so we can talk about some fights or something that are coming up here. Some big title fights are lined up for the early part of 2021. But I just want to tell you, you're an awesome contribution to our sport. You've done a lot, and keep going out there and rocking your thing. We'll be watching on Saturday.
All right. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Take care. We'll see you. All right, folks. That is Karen Bryant. Follow her on Twitter, just like her name, at Karen Bryant, KarynBryant. Goes. We got to get her in studio one day, man. She's a bundle of energy.
I think we've never had her in studio, right? I think that's
never had her in studio.
Joked around with her is she's never actually been in the studio.
Yeah, she's actually really a good follow on Twitter. She deals good with the haters. She's funny. She checks them, but she doesn't like. I think she's just got a great defense in that she doesn't let them get to her either. And I this is something I'd rather tell her in person. I was slow to warm up to her. You know what I mean? But I miss. Read her energy and her enthusiasm. She really loves MMA. I mean, she's had other opportunities and done other stuff like for Showtime Boxing. And like I mentioned, she came from the music world, MTV, but she really always circles back to MMA. So she's a true MMA person. I once heard her say, I'd like to be in the UFC Hall of Fame, and I'm working my ass to get to it. She's going to get there, man. I'm telling you, she's really, really good. And she contributes in many ways. So I would love to get her back in studio when we have our studio and we have, you know, the guests sit in for a co-host gig, an hour or two. That way we can talk a little bit more because she's done a lot in this sport.
Yeah, no, that would be a fun time. There's definitely, that's one of those back when our show was 2 hours where I think it'd just be fun to have her the whole 2 hours because there's different phases to her life that are very interesting to people.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we're two for two. I got to send a reminder to Jim Miller. You know, back in the SiriusXM days, we could say, hey, we'll be back in 3 minutes or 2 minutes. We got to pay our bills, you know, or whatever. We have none of that break. So why don't you give a quick little chat here and maybe tell people about our upcoming watch along UFC 258, Usman and Burns, welterweights. That's going to be a great fight.
Yeah, no. So the like George said, we got that news this morning and we're excited to come back and do those. And what's really cool is like the last one that we did, the chat room was just buzzing. It's so much fun to talk to you guys as the pay-per-view is going on. And we noticed that a lot of you guys followed that night and have shown up for the weekly show that we do here on Sportscaster. So we definitely look forward to doing that. And it's so weird. I've spoken to Jim Miller quite a bit. And like the lot, we got a colleague that asked us about him, and I had just talked to him the day before, and he did that little project that I'm working on, George, on the side. Mm-hmm. And I have to play that for a couple people just to kind of, I can do it here on StreamYard because I want to see their reaction as they're watching it. And both those people might have dropped an F you, Jim Miller, to what he said. It was great. Trust me, and I think a lot of people will agree with Jim Miller on his topic, but it was funny. He probably elicited the biggest response out of all of them. So we were kind of cracking up. I was texting him about it, but yeah.
Well, Jim Miller is just a guy we've known for a long time. I mean, I think he's 35 times he's walked to the octagon. Probably a future Hall of Famer as well, just because of his longevity, all the great fighters that he's beaten. His contribution, you know, he's been there, man. He's been through a lot of generations. But about a week ago, I really wasn't thinking about Jim Miller because there was nothing coming up. Then all of a sudden, one of our colleagues, Nolan, says, hey, I'm hearing Miller versus Green. And I'm like, oh, yeah, like May, June, what? He goes, no, UFC 258. What? That's like 10 days away. He goes, I know. So we got confirmation from the Miller side. And that's why I all of a sudden was on his radar. He will be fighting Bobby Green. That's a late addition to UFC 258. And again, we'll be hosting that watch along here on Sportscaster. So join us on Saturday, February 13th, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and hang out with us. You can order the pay-per-view or not order the pay-per-view and still be part of our chat room. You can put them on mute or us on mute. It doesn't matter, as long as you're hanging with us. But that said, I mean, these guys are two OGs, man. I immediately looked it up because I didn't know what to say that hasn't been said. Both Bobby Green and Jim Miller have been in the sport for a long time. People ask me, when's the first time you saw Bobby Green? I saw him on the LA scene, I think at a King of the Cage. But Affliction, I think, was his big splash, you know, and that was 2007. And Jim, I think, goes back to 2005 or something. But that they literally have like almost a combined 30 years of professional fighting experience going into this fight.
Yeah, if you look at their Sherdog or their Tapology, you go through, like, it's so funny that they got to have at least 75 fights combined, right? Between the two.
Yeah, one guy's on his 16th year and one guy's on his 13th or 14th year, but they were almost at 30 combined of professional fighting. And that's a lot because that's two fighters averaging 15 years and not many fighters. I mean, we just talked to Michael Johnson the other day and he's had a lot of fights in the UFC, probably in the 20 mark as well. But he only started in 2010, at least with the Ultimate Fighter, and he had a few before that. And that's a long time. But when you start getting into UFC into 2007, 2006, it's now 2021, folks. That's a long time. And then for lightweights, too, you know, the heavyweights, I think, are the ones that go into their upper 30s and early 40s, mid 40s even. But some of the lighter weights, I think mid 30s, they start slowing down. But these guys are still out there.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, he'll be joining us hopefully in a couple minutes here on Junkie Radio. If you missed it earlier, we had Ilia Topuria, Spanish fighter. Well, let me clarify. He was born in Germany, and he's represents. If you see him hold a flag, he's holding Spain and Georgia. So he represents both countries, and then he currently lives in Spain. So he was talking to us mostly in Spanish. His English is good. I thought he did well. 10-0. He did win in Fight Island. Then he came over here to the Apex and won as well. So keep an eye on that guy. He's been on my radar as well. 10-0 overall, 2-0 in the UFC, 9 finishes. And it's a stacked division, featherweight. But when you're undefeated, you take big steps up. And I think he didn't hear your question, how you asked it goes. He says, I already have dreams of being a champion. But I think you wanted to know, who do you envision facing the day that you fight for the title, right? The
guy that you're hoping is the champion when you get to him.
Yeah.
But he answered the question as if I had asked the world's dumbest question, which would have been, would you like to be a champion one day? But I had to kind of take that one on the chin.
Yeah. Well, who knows? I think sometimes fighters say, I don't care who's champion. But you're right. I imagine when he started, it was probably Max, because Max had about a 3-year run as champ. He's 10-0. He's been in the UFC since earlier 2020, which is when Alex has been champ. But when he first started, he was probably laser beam focused on Max. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know who will be champ. I think Ortega's tough, man. He took 2 years off, but he had a nice bounce back win. I think he's a formidable opponent for Alex Volkanovski. And then Max is, I thought he had hit the top of the mountain and then he was on his way down, even though he's still only like 29. He got better. He's still climbing.
You might have to remove me from that interview once the editing's done, because literally I asked him one question that he didn't understand and he thought I had asked him something else, which ended up being the world's dumbest question. And then the second question he said was so good that he didn't have an answer for it. So really, I was doing nothing here. I was just a statue.
You were like a listener that just popped in to ask a question?
Yeah.
He just said, move away, peasant.
Uh-huh.
Let me just talk to George.
Hey, so we got a little bit of time before Jim shows up?
Yeah, I just sent him a nudge. Go ahead.
Let's talk a little bit about the Stephen A. Smith thing. I want to clarify a couple things. I think that he is entitled to his opinion. I'm not saying that he should just shut up and not have any opinion. But is he not like a like a pro wrestling heel, like a Bobby the Brain Heenan in a way or something. Like, there's no way that he could possibly think some of the things he says. I think he does it over the top to get us to react, right? But in doing so, sometimes it works, and I think a lot of people get it. But I also think sometimes it just looks dumb. It just comes off as dumb, and I think this is one of those times.
He definitely had that on his mind and wanted to say it, because that's not originally how where the conversation was headed. But it's tough for me because my stance has been, like, I've been clear when I say I don't like the NBA. I'm not that big of a fan of the WNBA. Sorry. I'm warming up to it. I've now seen a couple games, and I think I've always told people, if you put a bet on anything, anything's pretty exciting. So maybe it was that, I don't know. But I've said before, there's a lot of sports that females play that I just don't have as much interest as the men. Soccer's one, and Goes disagrees with me on that one. And then basketball's another one. I think Goes definitely is more of a WNBA fan than I am. Now, face punching. I want to be clear here. My problem was that the best females are awesome to watch them do it. But the ones that are ranked like from 10 to 20, there's this far drop off, and I just don't get as interested. So we'll continue this in a second. But our next guest is ready to go. So we'll sort them out, get them ready to go here on Junkie Radio on Sportscaster on Thursday. It'll be Jim Miller, UFC lightweight. Look at this guy. What's going on, Jim Miller?
How you guys doing?
Today's not hair day, huh?
No. Yeah, it's getting a little out of control.
It looks good. It looks like a guy that's in fight camp and ready to jack a fool up.
The problem is it gets in front of my eyes, so I gotta trim it up. But that's on the schedule for tomorrow. So.
You know that you and Bobby Green have almost a combined 30 years of pro fighting experience? That's incredible for two guys that experience to still be doing it at a high level. Fans get excited when they hear you guys are going to be fighting, and now you two are matched up.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time. I mean, we almost fought back in 2014, we've been around, and it's just never, his name's never come up. So he's a guy that I've seen fight times. I'm a fan of him. He's one of those guys that, like, I always kind of wanted to fight because he's got a very unique style. So it's one that I would have liked a little more time to prepare for, but whatever, this is the way it seems to go for me these days, is that I only get about 2 weeks. So either way, I'm excited to fight him.
Now, couldn't you say, yo, man, I'm Jim Miller. I've walked the octagon many times. I'll fight him at UFC 259, now not UFC 258, and then hang up?
It's just that the way that it goes. I'd been asking for a fight since like September. So Sean said that a spot opened up, so it was either fight now or who knows, March, April, and I really didn't want to sit that long. If I could fight in like the time frames that I would like to be better for me, I would probably compete a lot better as well. I'd be well past 40 fights in the UFC at this point. This is like the third time that I've had 6 months in between fights, and that's too long for me. I like to fight every 3 months. It was kind of one of those things where the slot opened up. So it was like, hey, I'll take it. Whoever you can find to jump in there. And Bobby said yes.
Now, that said, I imagine you've been doing this for a long time. They didn't catch you with a pina colada on a hammock. I'm sure you've been working out and staying somewhat fit and ready to go, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I used to be able to stay in it, and it'd be like I'd fight, Saturday and Monday afternoon, it'd be back in the gym same way, but I'm not, you know, 25 anymore. So, it's a little bit harder for me now, but at the same time, I knew that this was probably going to happen. I knew that a short notice, a fight was probably going to be the way that I would get to fight, you know, sooner rather than later. So, you know, I had been trying to figure some things out because my last fight, I had a pretty crummy performance. You know, I felt pretty good, even with it being another short notice fight, but, I went out, I had a good first round, definitely not the hardest first round of my career. And, I walked back to the corner and I was done at that point. You know, you know, Vince was able to keep the pressure on me and, you know, and take the fight from me. But, it was one of those things where I ended up vomiting my own blood for about 20 minutes after that fight. So I've been trying to like figure out what happened and why I was so exhausted. Cause I felt like everything was in control. But you know, control is kind of, it's just this, it's all pretend, right? Like we can control our effort. We can control our attitude. And that's about it. So, you know, I was trying to figure that out, did a bunch of tests, stuff like that. We wouldn't like diagnose anything. You know, it was like just level of exertion. So, it was just, it's one of those things. So I've been trying to like build my base back up take a bit more scientific approach to it. You know, I've been back in the gym and I've been working out and, you know, I did get sick around just before, the holidays. So then I had a little time off there. Got back into it and I'd been back in, like I was in a training camp a couple weeks, you know, prior to finding out this fight was on. So, you know, I have been preparing and you know, ready to go.
And the diagnosis. Go ahead. Sorry. You're right.
I was going to say, well, you didn't get any type of answers at all from doctors or anything like that?
Nope, nothing. You know, it was like some of my liver numbers were a little bit elevated, stuff like that, and they said like, you know, testosterone was a little low, but it's like, hey, you just got your ass kicked, so that's kind of normal for that circumstance. So I don't know, because it was like I was doing 10 11 5-minute rounds in a row, you know, hitting pads and then having, you know, the young animals that I've got at the gym coming after me, I lasted 5 minutes. So you know, it's a fight, and even though there aren't necessarily like nerves to where I'm gonna have that adrenaline dump, that definitely wasn't the case. There's still a level of commitment into every strike you throw and every, you know, submission you throw on somebody, you know, you're just things are kind of elevated. So that was probably just it. And, you know, it's the way it goes.
You brought something up early in the interview about preparation and you wish you had like a little bit more time to prepare, but I was actually thinking about this in the morning. Bobby Green to me would be a nightmare to prepare for because he kind of brings chaos, but it's controlled chaos. It's really weird. Like every time I watch him, I don't really understand what he's doing until the fight's almost over. Mm-hmm. And I realize he meant to make it chaotic like that. Mm-hmm. So what do you invite that sort of type of fight, a chaotic fight? Because I always look at you as a guy, win or lose, you never strike me as somebody who's not prepared. So how do you look at this fight going forward here?
You know, he's just got that different style. You know, I've never fought somebody, you know, I've seen pretty much everything there is to see inside the octagon. And, I haven't fought somebody that strikes with the style that he does. You know, like I said, we almost fought in 2014. So I had time to prepare for it. And just kind of getting that look, right. And just getting the reps in of dealing with somebody that moves that way. But yeah, when it comes to like the fray, right. And kind of the chaos, that's what I'm always driving for. That's where I'm the best at what I do, you know, like, you know, I always use the Talladega Nights thing, and like, you know, Jim Miller's not a thinker. Jim Miller's a doer. Like, when I'm working at my best, I'm not planning things. I'm not setting things up. I'm trying to move and to make my opponent just be reactive, and then my body takes over, and it's like there's elevator music going on in my head, and things are just happening, and that's when I perform at my best, and that's when I pull off things that I might not have ever done, you know, even in the gym. So yeah, I try to get to that point, you know, hopefully that's the way this fight goes, and the fight pace is high, and it's unpredictable, because that's where I thrive.
I have a compliment and an insult. Which one would you like to put?
I'll take the insult.
So remember that thing that I asked you to do?
Yes.
So that hasn't come out yet, but I have to kind of run that by people, almost exactly how we're doing right now, right? And you could see kind of like a control group, right, to see how they react. They reacted the strongest to what you said, Adam. It was so
That's not
funny.
An insult.
Well,
That's
there might have been a couple. There might have been a couple of F you, Jim Miller. But
oh,
I mean,
yeah, no, that doesn't strike me as an insult. That's even more of a compliment. You know, like
there you go. Yeah, that I think that one is by far the best one. So that's kind of your insult. And then the compliment is this. I don't know if you caught this, but we did an interview with Dustin Poirier. And everybody's been asking about the leg kicks. But the one thing that I heard him bring up in our interview that I didn't hear him bring up in other ones was he said, I remembered when Jim Miller did that to me. Hmm. And he goes, that never got out of my head, that feeling of my leg is just not working. So in a way, you're responsible for defeating Conor McGregor. Congratulations.
Thank you. You know,
do you remember much about that fight and that particular strike?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. It's I trained to do that little calf kick, the cut kick, for when I fought Diaz, and unfortunately, about, you know, two and a half minutes in, it, like a cherry bomb went off in my ankle, so it was then hard to be throwing the leg kicks with any power, standing on one leg. I used them a bit against Lozon the first time, but at that point my shins weren't really conditioned, so then it ended up like turning into a bone bruise because I hit him with the same spot on my shin but not in the same spot on his leg, probably at least a half dozen times, maybe a little bit more. So it was one of those things that like I wanted to use more inside the octagon, but for a while there I had to pack out my shin guard, and I mean, I was taking like grout sponges, and I would put those in the shin guard. I would wear two sets of shin guards, and it would still hurt. But it's something that I had put into the mix years ago, you know, over 8 years ago now. I've been able to do it, but I just always dealt with, you know, foot injuries and shit like that before fights, you know, constantly. So you know, and you're kind of the product of what the last few weeks are. I mean, that's really what this comes down to. You know, like Dan Henderson will always have the H-bomb, but when he's 80 years old and he hasn't done it, you know, recently, it's got to come a little bit slower, and it's probably only going to come once, and you know, it might be effective, but it's not going to be effective multiple times, that's for sure. You know, so I've been trying to, you know, use that in fights, and it just, something always comes up, where I'm not using it in training. Yeah, when I fought Dustin, I was in a tough spot there, like physically outside of the fight. I remember like he did it first, right? He kicked me first, like two or three times. And I was like, wait, you know, like I can do this back. And then, yeah, I started throwing those kicks, you know, I feel like I was like, you know, two or three more from him not being able to stand up. And, you know, that was one of those fights that, my Muay Thai coach, he says, like, he's like, when he stepped into the octagon after that fight, he's like, the most noticeable thing was the look on Joe Rogan's face. He said, I see Joe Rogan's face, and he's just like he's looking at a car accident, and there's just body parts everywhere. You know, it was, yeah, that was a hell of a fight. And, I'm glad to have helped, you know, helped him get that victory and you know, kind of shape things. So, yeah, you know, it's just, we'll see, you know, if I'm ever able to throw those kicks in a fight again. But
I was about to ask you, so Poirier gave McGregor the leg kick lesson. You gave Poirier the leg kick lesson. Who gave it to you? But it sounds like Poirier had just given it to you earlier in the fight, or had another fighter kicked you in the calf where you were like, uh-oh, that shit hurts.
No, you know, I've got, at this point, pretty well-conditioned legs. You know, like, obviously, earlier in my career, as a weapon, it was harder for me to use. Like I said, I banged it up against Lozon the first time. But I've always been pretty good at absorbing them in the room. Not that I want to get kicked in the leg in a fight. But, yeah, it's... Yeah, nobody's banged me up with them, but I usually come away on the good end of it. I do stupid stuff like I'll kick trailer hitches now to fuck with
Jesus.
People.
Take it easy, really.
Well, there's different ways to kick stuff, right? Like when I'm kicking somebody's leg, I'm trying to kick through it, so you're like really pulling your weight through it. And then there's like when you kind of try to kick heavy, so like that's kind of how I'll do it sometimes. And to see the look on people's faces, you got to hit it square. Like you don't want to catch an edge, but, yeah, I mess with people like that, you know, when the trailer hitch rattles and the bed of the truck moves a little bit, they're like, what the hell?
I think Tony Ferguson kicks those parking poles. So yeah, I've heard these things. You guys are nuts, man. But, do you think the upper thigh leg kick is just going to go away, or is more people now just focusing on the calf kick? Or, I mean, they're both debilitating, but the calf kick seems to be get you quicker that result, and you have a better chance of hitting the performal nerve, you know, that could just really, really shut it down.
Yeah. I don't see the regular leg kick going away, honestly. The thing with the calf kick is when you're throwing it, you know, it's going to suck on, you know, when you land it too. And it takes a certain level of, you know, crazy and being a psycho to do it. So it's a lot easier to kick somebody in the thigh than it is in the calf. You know, like, you kind of just have to make that, you know, agreement with yourself that this is going to suck either way, but it's going to suck for him a little bit more than it sucks for me. But you know, like, I always look at like pain in a fight. It's like a swimmer getting wet. It's gonna happen. It's fighting. It's supposed to hurt. So you know, if I'm the one dictating it and controlling it, then I'm a lot more comfortable with it. So, yeah, it's you gotta make that agreement if you're gonna throw the calf kicks.
I don't know if you know this, but Dustin couldn't fly the next day. I think he had to stay back 2 days. I think the fight was in Jersey. Mm-hmm. I think he had to stay back a few days because the leg had swelled up so much. It wasn't recommended that he fly. Cause I remember we had him on the show and we thought he was already back in South Florida or Louisiana. He goes, no, man, I'm still here. Mm-hmm. Like that fight stayed with him, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty great though. Like, because you fought so many people over the years, you have memories with a lot of people, you know, that are legends like yourself.
Yeah, you know, it's been awesome to share the octagon with a bunch of these guys, you know, Dustin's just, he's as tough as they come. I was bumped into him at the what the heck did I call it, the fighter retreat or something like that. You know, this was after he had fought Alvarez the first time, and you know, and he was still dealing with compartment syndrome at that point. So you know, to be dealing with that, and you know, and fighting a guy like Eddie, you know, before he's even over it, is just it's a testament to how tough, you know, Dustin really is. You know, it's a, yeah, it's not fun when you bang up your legs and stuff like that. And it's one of those nagging things.
Last question. Have you had anybody in sparring talking to you? Cause you know, Bobby's going to be talking to you just to maybe throw you off.
You know, I haven't, none of my guys will talk to me while we're sparring. Cause I try to throw some craftier stuff at them when they do that, you know, make them pay for it. But you know, like I said, when I'm running at optimal level, nothing gets in the way, you know, like I said, it's just elevator music going on, and it's like a state of, like urgent calmness, right? Like you're in that flow state, and it's like things have to happen fast, but you know, I mean, I get such tunnel vision when I step into the octagon anyway that, you know, I don't see outside the octagon. I barely ever hear my corner. I mean, Nate, when I fought Nate, I remember him saying something, but again, like I just don't hear. It's just white noise. I saw his mouth moving and I reached up to throw that the front kick and kind of teeped him in the face a little bit. Obviously not hard enough, but you know, yeah, it's I don't really care. He can be singing show tunes if he wants to. I'm gonna be doing what I gotta do in there you know, I'm trying to fight at my best.
You truly are one of the special ones, Jim Miller. You've been doing this for a long time. It's fun covering you. Gracious for your time here, you know, a week before this next fight against Bobby Green. Can't wait to see you at UFC 258. So thank you again. I know you have a big family. I know you got to probably either train or get to one of them. Mm-hmm. So thanks again, as always, for joining us here on Junkie Radio.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Take care.
Have a good one.
Folks, that is Jim Miller, man, one of the best. He has fought a lot in the UFC, and for such a long time, it's been quite a career. There you have it, folks. Three guests. I think we're a little caught up now, right, guys? We can breathe a little?
Yeah, no, that was awesome. That was fun.
Yeah, and a last reminder we'll leave you with on February 13th. So let's take it one by one. On February 6th, it's UFC Fight Night 184 with Alistair Overeem and Alexander Volkov in the main event, Corey Sandhagen and Frankie Edgar. So MMA is back. Check it out. We got all kinds of coverage on our website, MMA Junkie. Then the following Saturday, February 13th, Goz and I will host a UFC 258 watch-along for the fight card, the pay-per-view that's headlined by Gilbert Burns as he challenges Kamaru Usman, the UFC's undisputed welterweight champion. 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific for that one. We'll probably dip in a little bit early. The last one was a blast with Poirier and McGregor, Chandler and Hooker. Man, what a close. Those were some epic fights between some great fighters. And I think all that buzz is going to carry over to this week and then the following week. And then March is tremendous as well. So starting next Saturday, six UFC champions are putting their belts on the line. Let me see if I know them. I know it's Usman, Miocic, Nunes, Jan, it's four. Who am I missing, Goz? I think Volkanovski. Yeah, he's going to defend against Ortega. And I don't think it's Valentina yet. I don't think it's Figueredo yet. Who?
The Megan?
Well, yeah, she's facing Nunes. Oh, and Jan, he's defending against Izzy. So seven UFC champions are going to be in action. It's just that Izzy will be a challenger in his. And they're all spread out through the next, it's UFC 258, 259, and 260, 258 next Saturday. We're doing a watch-along. We hope to be able to do ones for the other ones as well. And with that, I want to thank Ilya Topuria for his time, Karen Bryant as well, Jim Miller. You know, if you see them on Twitter or Instagram, let them know you caught them on the MMA Junkie Radio Show. That always goes a long way. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goz is at The Goz. Our radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. We're going to exit here, and we'll see you all on Monday to recap the big fights from this past weekend. So enjoy the weekend, enjoy the fights, enjoy the Super Bowl, and go out there and be a champion as always.